Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Is Hurricane Hotline on FM 1043 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hey, very good evening and welcome to Hurricane Hotline here on WQAM. Hollywood along here with you. Trevor Harris is our producer this evening, and the Miami Hurricanes coming off a huge win over Pitt this past Saturday. The Canes needed to make a statement, and they most certainly did. 38-7 was that statement by Miami, whose defense continues to be one of, if not the best defense in America. The offense showed up big, as well as Malachi Toney, Pringle, Carson Beck. It's just been a really great show here that the Hurricanes were able to put on the last month of the season, really. Miami finishing with four strong, convincing wins. This is how it sounded when the Canes went into snowy Pittsburgh at Acrisure Stadium.
Miami and Pittsburgh, the Hurricanes, trying to finish the season with a convincing closing argument from Pittsburgh, and away we go. It's high, it's deep, and it goes to the back of the end zone, and Heinschel will get the ball at the 25-yard line going right to left. Heinschel to throw, drifts right.
Right
here comes
there,
the pressure,
baby.
And he's sacked. First play of the game. Moten sacks him at the 13-yard line. Ahmad Moten, his 22nd tackle of the season. A loss of five. Heinschel, the 18-year-old freshman quarterback, to throw. Miami sends a blitz. He's got a tight pocket, and Baines got him at the 21-yard line. Reuben Brain, Baines sacks him around the shoulder pads. In his 34th game, Baines has his 100th career tackle and his 15th career sack, and Miami knocks him out for the second three and out of the ball game. Miami trying to score first with 4:45 to go here in the first quarter. 30 yards, maybe 29. We'll put it down at the 19 out of the hold of Dylan Joyce.
They're overloaded heavy to Miami's left.
Snap comes back. Davis sends it up there, and it is good. And Miami strikes first. The curtain raiser goes to Miami. Empty backfield, Heinschel to throw. Miami runs a stunt. Heinschel spins out, looking to run. He's to the 35, across the 40. Oh, my! At the 40-yard line, and he got annihilated. Holy Moses Poyser. Just put a dent in the Heinschel. All to Pitt 49 off a play fake. There's the deep ball. Again out there. It's going to be caught down at the 10. What a catch.
Wow.
Down at the 10 by Blue Hicks. He got underneath O'Connor and somehow made the catch. From the 40 off a play fake. Beck looking deep. Throws. It is gone. What a catch by Toney. A one-handed grab along the sidelines. Down at the 20-yard line. What a magnificent play by Malachi Toney. The first moment of magic for Miami. First and goal at the Pitt 9. Toney in the Wildcat. He sprints to the right side, looking to throw. He's got Lofton out there. He throws. Caught! Touchdown, Miami! Malachi Toney throws a 9-yard touchdown pass to Elijah Lofton. And Miami strikes up the band, and they grab the lead. 9-7 behind Malachi Toney. Toney goes in motion, right side, second down and 10. Back to throw.
Open.
Dan Saul fires end zone. Tony, he's got it! Touchdown, Miami! Along the left sideline, 22 yards from back to Malachi Tony. It's the big moments that count, and Miami has seized the opportunity. Back to Malachi Tony with 1:55 to go in the second quarter. Let's see if Heinchel puts the ball in the air. Turner to his right shoulder. Miami can't give up a big play. Thomas and Poyser are the safeties. Heinchel to throw. Here comes a blitz from Fitzgerald. He's got him. They bring him down inside the 20-yard line. A safety blitz, and Bryce Fitzgerald sacks him. Backfield has Pringle to the left shoulder. Beck has a green grass stain on his white pants. He throws. Bauman's got it at the 50. 45-40. Middle of the field. Bauman to the 30. Bauman down to the 25-yard line. On a quick hitter. Finally dragged down from behind by Javon McIntyre. Here comes Beck. His eyes alert and active. Fletcher to his right shoulder. Cooper is the left tackle. Extra lineman in there. Here's the handoff. It goes to Fletcher. And Fletcher spins. And he is into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami. Mark Fletcher barrels into the end zone. A banner moment for the offensive line as Fletcher dazzles and delights. Ball back to the 9-yard line. Tony comes in motion one way, goes the other. Beck looking to throw, has a man open, fires, it's caught, it's Brown, he carries it into the end zone. That time it's a touchdown. Carson Beck to Marty Brown. And now again, it's a Hurricane, Miami Hurricane for sure. 4th and 3. The ball on the left hash mark at the Miami 34-yard line. Heinchel to throw for it, lobs it out there, caught by the tight end. I don't think he got there. Right in front of the Miami bench.
No.
Hit by Lucas. Also over there was Jacoby Thomas.
Everybody.
I think that's going to be Miami's football. That's where the Hurricanes are indicating. Mario Cristobal is jumping up and down.
Everybody's lined up on the sideline.
Pittsburgh's setting
the
their
direction.
Defense out there. Miami football.
That's right.
They turn
Miami.
It over.
That's right. T.O. on down.
50 seconds to play in the game. 2nd down and 3. Only thing that remains for Miami is Beck's going to throw. And he fires for the end zone. And it is caught for a touchdown. What a catch by Daniels. What an exclamation point to the season. What a closing argument. It's a touchdown. It's Miami 37 and Pittsburgh 7. And Beck has another touchdown pass. A hat trick for Beck. And Daniels, what a return. He closes the season the way he started it. What a catch along the near sideline. 33 yards for a touchdown. Hurricane fans are celebrating and jumping with joy. Beck brings them up. Miami 38, Pittsburgh 7. Total domination for Miami. Beck will take a knee, and that is all. The Hurricanes come to Pittsburgh, and they have a resounding closing argument. They destroy Pittsburgh, a ranked team, on the road, in the cold. Miami 38, Pittsburgh 7. Miami back-to-back 10-win seasons. And the question now will be, do they go to the playoffs?
All right, that was how it sounded. Miami over Pittsburgh 38-7. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Josh Darrow there on the call. All right, we have plenty more to get to as we continue on with this edition of Hurricane Hotline. We will hear from Mario Cristobal, who had a talk with Joe Rose, and our friend Alex Donna will stop by as well. So plenty more to come here on Hurricane Hotline on WQAM.
The holidays are here, and you know what that means. You want to spend time with family. And where else will you find a better family, better customer service when you start your holiday shopping for cars than Williamson Cadillac? Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol, they've been doing this for 50 years, and they know how important the holidays are. They're going to welcome you with open arms to make sure your holiday shopping is done without any kind of hassle. Stop by, see Jermaine, ask for Reggie. That's the team down there, Williamson. They'll take care of you. No matter what. They're more than a dealership. They're our friends, they're our neighbors, they're our family. That's why Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. And certainly during the holidays, they want the customer experience to be just perfect. So head in to Williamson Cadillac, easy to find, located on US 1 at 100 4th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can also go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com and check out all of the inventory. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the new all-electric Lyriq, all in stock, all arriving every single day. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle? You want to get the most out of the holiday experience? Experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, welcome back in here on Hurricane Hotline on WQAM. Kind enough to join us here is our friend Alex Dono. He is the host of the Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast. He is also the post-game host here on QAM for Canes football. Dono, thank you for the time as always, man. Appreciate it. Welcome to the hotline.
It's my pleasure. That was a great win for Miami to close out the regular season. Now the fate is in the hands of others. We just have to await these next two final two college football playoff rankings to try to figure out what the committee is thinking.
And that's the fun part of this thing too, right? Is Miami doesn't get to play in the ACC championship game. Not the fun part, but they don't get to play in the conference championship game. So you got to wait another week to find out where they actually stand in this thing. And Dono, I want to kick it off with this ACC championship game. And I've seen so many different takes on this thing. And, you know, there's, you know, the seeding or the tiebreaker thing is not correct. And, you know, we screwed it up there. And, you know, there's just a lot of different thoughts on this game. You get Duke in this thing, right? Duke is 7-5 on the season. They end up with the same conference record as Miami. I think you need to find something different to decide this thing, right? Whether it's overall record, whether it's strength of wins or something along those lines. But Duke gets in this thing. I'm curious what your thoughts are as we kick this thing off here. We get set to play that game over the weekend.
I mean, it's an absolute sham that a team like Duke that has a 7-5 overall record, including a football loss to UConn, a loss to Tulane, which Tulane's a pretty good team, but it was funny because Duke stole their quarterback in the transfer portal and then proceeded to lose to Tulane. They got blown out by Illinois, which was the best non-conference team that they faced all year. And the reason why they win this tiebreaker, and just so people understand, like, Duke was literally in a 5-way tie for second place in the ACC with a 6-2 conference record, and they are objectively by far the worst of those five teams in that five-way tie. In that five-way tie with Miami, who's 10-2 overall, Georgia Tech, who beat Duke head-to-head and is 9-3 overall, SMU 8-4 overall, and Duke at 7-5 overall. And the reason why Duke gets to play in the ACC championship game, so the tiebreaker that they used was the winning percentage of conference opponents. And, okay, I take an issue with this because, so the winning percentage of conference opponents, Duke's winning percentage of those opponents is built up by the fact that they have Virginia was on their schedule who went 7-1, and Georgia Tech who went 6-2, but Duke lost to both of them. So if anything, why can't we do winning percentage of teams you beat? Because your record got boosted by a couple of teams that you lost to, or, you know, other people have brought up, hey, you know, maybe when you get down to the fourth and fifth tiebreakers, it should be which team is ranked the highest. But I, you know, the reason why the ACC has avoided that is they want to live in this weird bubble where when you're deciding your conference title game, you completely disregard non-conference, like, mm-hmm. Oh, like, which is the, you know, that's why a 7-5 overall team who went, you know, 1-3 non-conference can get in. I think maybe they should reevaluate that. So, you know, I know I've seen some people bring it up on social media, you know, including Nicole Auerbach, who reports on college football, like, hey, like the ACC should step in now and pull them out. But you can't do that, unfortunately for Miami fans, because, hey, this is a conference that has been sued before by members of the conference. If they just decide to change their criteria during the season, Duke would sue them and they would probably win. So I think they can definitely look at changing that criteria in the future, but it's not going to get changed between now and next Saturday.
I mean, the amount of flaws in college football as a whole, and we'll get to it, you know, but like you got a coach leaving while his team's about to play in a playoff, right? And going to a rival school, and he's complaining that, you know, they won't let him coach while he's employed by another school. So that system's a mess. The calendar, the whole calendar thing with the transfer portal and recruiting and everything is a complete mess. And then, to be quite honest, Dono, this whole notion of like you have a committee of people that sit in a room and, you know, and decide everyone's fate, and they base it on what they call the eye test. The eye test, like, I don't know how you can be objective when you do that, right? Like no. Everyone has their biases. Everyone kind of sees what they see. And I do this, you do this, Dono. We do this every day, right? Like, we'll say something that, you know, we see in a game, and we'll have 100 people that'll text in, no, that's not how I saw it. Like, everyone sees things differently. And so, like, to me, the best thing is just to let computers figure it out, right? Just plug all the numbers into a computer, old school BCS, and let's just let a computer spit out the results. And that way, you're not blaming people. You're not having people do these ridiculous interviews where they try to justify their insane decisions and reasoning. I don't know what you think about it, man, but I think this committee thing has to go. I think this should be the last year of it. I think the nonsense about Ole Miss, and they might, you know, they might penalize them because their coach left. Hey, man, the players go out and play. You know, the coaches, I know they're important or whatever, but like the players go out and play. And the other notion of like, if your quarterback gets hurt, if someone gets hurt, whatever, like, you're going to penalize a team for that. Like, that's part of sports. You know, you can't penalize teams for stuff that's out of their control. And I feel like that's what this committee, this group of people does. And that's why, to me, just have a computer decide it.
I mean, handing it over to a computer with a good algorithm, it's not a bad idea. Like, it would be better than the system that they currently have. But to me, whether you have people managing it or computers managing it, if you want to have people deciding this, I just think they need to have criteria that they actually follow. Because an issue that I've had, and this goes into your argument, I guess, about, you know, handing it to a modern day BCS, but every time that they do these selection shows, which are dog and pony shows every Tuesday night, and then, you know, you hear the committee chair, and but it's like a revolving door of committee chairs, by the way, and then Heather Dinich, who's the reporter who reports on what these people are supposedly thinking. It's just so inconsistent. The criteria constantly changes, where it's like, you know, head-to-head seems to matter for everyone except in the Miami versus Notre Dame situation. And, you know, I get it. Like, for a long time, if you went by the eye test, you know, the first rankings came out. We're going on, like, this week will be, like, number five or number six. When the first set of rankings came out, yeah, that came right during a spell where Miami had lost two out of three games. So, like, you could understand why the eye test might have been a little bit spoiled there. And the committee did say that, hey, you know, if Miami can get into that same comparative pool with Notre Dame, then, yeah, we're going to be forced to value the head-to-head. So last week rolls around when both teams are 9-2. They're both 10-2 now, so we'll see what happens. Last week rolls around, and the committee said, yeah, they're in the same comparative pool now, but we just think Notre Dame's the flat-out better team, period, is what they said. So the head-to-head turned out it didn't matter. But here's the thing. Like, when you talk about the computer stuff and the analytics, the committee, honestly, and listen, I'm not expecting them to rank Miami ahead of Notre Dame on, you know, on Tuesday night when the rankings come out. But, you know, you look at now the mental gymnastics you can do to justify Notre Dame being ahead of Miami have really gone away by and large based on the way Miami finished the season. Strength of record, they're only separated by one spot, with Notre Dame at number 12, Miami at number 13. If you look at metrics like the FPI, the SP+, the Segarin, Miami and Notre Dame are separated by like one and two spots on all of those. So like, the most noticeable difference is one team beat the other head-to-head. And then they also, they have four common opponents, and they both beat all four of those common opponents. Miami actually beat three out of the four by a wider margin if we want to go that route. So, you know, it's really like you really have to grasp at straws at this point to explain why Notre Dame is not only ranked in front of Miami, but three spots in front of Miami. So I strongly feel a couple of things. I think at this point, I think it would be fair to say Miami looks like one of the best teams in the country. Like, it should be enough to get them into the college football playoff. But I think the committee has a real problem, because since they had Miami ranked behind so many teams, you know, week after week, it's like, how do they, in their own minds, justify potentially moving Miami in front of BYU or moving Miami in front of Alabama? Or it seems like it'd be pretty easy to justify moving Miami in front of Notre Dame. But I honestly, in Hollywood, I've been saying this for the last couple of days. You know, I think that when the CFP committee started ranking Miami, like, they started out at, I think, number 18, and they've been kind of chipping away. I think the committee really expected, based on the form that they were in late October, they really thought Miami was going to lose again. I think they were expecting and hoping that Miami would lose another game, which would kind of solve the problem for them. But since Miami not only kept winning, but they really dominated, 151-44. They outscored their opponents, including a ranked Pittsburgh on the road these final four games. I think Miami has given the committee a real problem, because no matter who they decide to put in, somebody's going to feel like they got screwed over, right? It's either you screw over Miami, you screw over Notre Dame, you screw over BYU or Alabama. Someone's getting screwed.
Well, BYU lost by 100 in a conference game, but, you know, Miami, the thing, and then all fairness, Donald, look, Miami has stumbled across the finish line most years in the ACC, right? This is the last time, you know, or the first time I can remember in a while that Miami has been trending up when the season ends. And yes, they had the hiccup in the middle, but, you know, I just think the way that they've been playing the dominant brand of football, and to make these games in the beginning of the season less meaningful because of when they took place, it's like, all right, so maybe the solution then is, instead of scheduling Notre Dame and Florida and, you know, and USF, why don't we schedule, you know, 10 Bethunes to start the season, right? Or just every non-conference game could be again. And I'm not even kidding anymore, because why would you schedule Notre Dame in the beginning of the season? Because they sure as hell would have held that against you if it was a loss, right? You're not getting any benefit from it being a win. And the bottom line is, look, Miami played some really tough non-conference games, and they were banged up by the time that the weird bye weeks and everything. And they were banged up in the middle of the season. If you played, you know, Bethune and Bethune and all your non-conference games, you're probably not banged up by the time conference play rolls around. And maybe you do win every single one of your conference games and things look a lot different. But if you're not going to get rewarded for the win, and you're probably, if you're Miami, going to get penalized for the loss, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's 100% right. You outlined it well, because the best part about Notre Dame's resume is who they lost to, because Notre Dame's best win is against a three-loss USC team. Mm-hmm. But they're the best part of their – well, yeah, and Pitt is a bit – I just – I brought up USC because they're ranked slightly in front of Pitt. So those were – so their best wins are against teams that are ranked in the teens or the 20s, right? But the best part about Notre Dame's resume was, well, hey, they lost to Miami, who was top 10 at the time, and they lost to Texas A&M, who was top 10 at a time. So, yeah, you're 100% right that – like Miami doesn't really get much credit for beating Notre Dame, but Notre Dame gets a ton of credit for losing to Miami. Weird how that works out. And as far as, you know, it's funny because we kind of go into these final couple of CFP rankings in a similar position that Miami was last year, being 10-2. Mm-hmm. But relatively speaking, I think Miami has a much stronger case this year than they did a year ago. Because for as electric as Miami's offense was last year with Cam Ward, the Hurricanes had a clear flaw. Like, the defense was not good, right? And I kind of look at, I know the committee's not going to take Oklahoma out of the playoff, but maybe they should, because Oklahoma's offense is this year's version of Miami's defense, right? But, you know, they're not going to penalize OU the way that they penalize Miami. Miami doesn't have a flaw this year. The defense is top 10 nationally. The offense is top 20 nationally. So, like, it's not quite as electric as it was last year. But last year, you had Cam Ward. This year, Malachi Toney is, like, the version of Cam Ward for last year, one of the most exciting players in the country. You know, last year, you know, Miami didn't have any ranked wins. This year, they've got four ranked wins. And last year, Miami ended the season with negative momentum because they lost two out of their final three games. This year, you enter the postseason time on a four-game winning streak, and you've been dominant in those four games. So to me, you know, it's unfortunate that, like, I guess the odds would be against Miami getting in this year, but I think they've made a much stronger case in 2025 than they made in 2024.
And this whole notion of, like, you know, Notre Dame would beat Miami right now, it's like, well, Miami seems to be playing about as well as they've played.
And Notre Dame was favored to beat Miami the first time.
Yeah, so, and who are they playing, Dono? I mean, they're finishing the season with, you know, with cupcake games, right? And, you know, Miami goes, plays two road games, goes out in the cold, which no one thought they could do. And I'll be completely honest with you. I didn't see them beating the doors off of Pitt. Like, they destroyed those guys. I thought that that was going to be, especially because of what Pitt did the week before, I thought that game and going up there and playing in the cold and all that good stuff, I figured that would be a somewhat close game. I did think Miami had a really good chance to win it, but I thought it was going to be closer than it was, and Miami went out there and Pitt had everything to play for. Right. This wasn't like, you know, Stanford, like when, you know, Notre Dame's playing, it's just, you know, in shambles. Pitt was playing for everything.
Yeah. And it's funny because Pitt, when they played against Notre Dame 2 weeks prior, head coach Pat Narduzzi said before. Right, yeah, because they still had Georgia Tech and Miami on the schedule. And Narduzzi said, no, it doesn't matter. We could lose this game to Notre Dame by 100. And it doesn't matter as long as we win our conference game. So. Mm-hmm. You also have that going for you. And then it was funny because I didn't stay up till 1:30 in the morning to watch the entire game of Notre Dame versus Stanford. But I found out a day or two afterwards that, you know, because Notre Dame fans keep saying, like, oh, Miami is trying to run up the score on these teams to look better than Notre Dame did. Notre Dame faked a punt against Stanford when they were up 14. And they're trying to tell me that they're not trying to run up scores. So you have those sort of shenanigans going on. And Miami still actually beat Stanford by more points than Notre Dame did. So, you know, it's kind of a shame that we're having to argue stuff like, hey, how badly did we beat the common opponents, instead of actually saying, hey, who won when they played head to head and actually lined it up against one another?
Yeah, that's very BCS-ish, right? Yeah. Where you start talking about, you know, margin of victory and this and that. But so just summarize this for me, Dono. So Notre Dame, they're giving them the benefit because of quality losses, right? Miami's losses are not as good of quality losses. Miami's wins, you can't compare them to Notre Dame, right? Miami has more wins over ranked teams. They have wins over better teams than Notre Dame, including a win over Notre Dame themselves. So that is the deciding factor right now, is that their losses are better. Like, that's what we're doing here.
It seems that way. And I'll say there are three opportunities. I'm going to say 2.5 because I don't expect the third of these to happen. But opportunities for Miami to sneak into the college football playoff. Number one would be if the committee just does decide, hey, you know what? Notre Dame no longer has the clear data advantages over Miami, and we're actually going to be forced to value the head-to-head. So that would be number one. If the committee decides, hey, we can't hold the rest of the schedule against Miami anymore, that's how Miami could get in. The second one would be, I'm really curious, heading into conference championship weekend, if the committee actually would decide to hold conference championship game losses against teams, because they've kind of said in the past that they don't do that. So it's a weird thing with conference championship games, because like, you can get rewarded for winning them, but they don't want to penalize you for losing them. So it's like, you got everything to gain but nothing to lose. But you know, you mentioned BYU, who their one loss was a blowout loss to Texas Tech. They're playing Texas Tech again this weekend. So if Texas Tech blows them out again, would they use that against BYU? Maybe they should. They claim they won't.
Team, because that wouldn't pass anyone's eye test.
Right.
Like, how does it pass an eye test? Like, okay, you just got beat by a combined 80 points, you know, over two games by a playoff team. But hey, let's
right.
push the playoff because we think the result will be different.
Yeah, right? And so you have to wonder about that. And then Miami fans are going to have to root for Georgia, because Georgia plays Alabama in the SEC championship game. It's probably going to be a close game, but I mean, if it's not, if Georgia dominates, then would they hold that against Bama? So you have to wonder. Like, it's, you know, it's like Miami's in this weird spot where they, thanks to the ACC's tiebreaker criteria, Miami doesn't get to play again. Georgia and BYU do. So we'll see if they both lose. Will the committee hold that against them?
We've gone full circle here, Dono. The games in the beginning of the season don't matter, and the games in the last week of the season don't matter. So,
right.
No, man. Whatever makes whatever they want to do, right? Let's just roll with it. We'll figure it out as we go. Seems like what they're doing. All right, Dono.
Yeah, and then real quick though, the other possibility is, will the committee actually penalize Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin leaving? I don't think they will, and I don't think they should. But didn't they do that to Florida State with Jordan Travis getting injured 2 years ago? So I don't know.
Well, Lane, that lunatic that he is, this, you know, said he wanted to coach the team, even though he's employed by LSU. Like, hey, you know, just coach the rival team. See if I can't, poach some more players and coaches in the next few weeks while I'm at it. Dono, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, and hopefully it'll be on better terms.
I hope so, man. Thank you so much.
All right, that was Alex Dono joining us here on Hurricane Hotline. He is the host of the Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast. Make sure you check those out. He's also our post-game host here for the Canes on WQAM. We have more Hurricane Hotline to come after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
All right, welcome back here to Hurricane Hotline. The Miami Hurricanes football team, they will await to find out now where they will end up. But Miami put together a very strong month of football, capped off with a 38-7 win over Pitt. The head coach of the Canes, Mario Cristobal, joined Joe Rose as he does each and every Monday here on WQAM.
Wow. Wow is what happened Saturday. Canes 38-7 over Pittsburgh. On the road from start of the game to the finish of the game, just total dominance, 10-2 on the season. We're joined this morning by Mario Cristobal, Miami Hurricanes head coach. Coach, congratulations on just the last month, actually, 38-10, 41-7, 34-17, and then 38-7, the last four games and the four-game winning streak, just absolute dominance in those games.
Good morning, Joe. Appreciate you, man. It was certainly a fun Saturday, dominant Saturday. A lot of guys played, and you know what? The Canes are just fine with the cold weather.
Yeah. Well, we got one team that knocked that out, so that's a great point. Yeah, it didn't seem, I don't know what it was, but it didn't affect any of your guys on either side of the ball. It's incredible when you look at the defense. They've been so good really all year, coach, and from first downs to total yards to Canes run defense, everybody's a little concerned. 21 carries, 30 yards for Pitt after the game they had against Georgia Tech. Just everything. The pass rush, my gosh, the secondary, really. Just if it's the eyeball test, it clearly, the way you're playing right now, looks like one of the best teams in the country. I'm guessing you'd agree with that.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty neat. Someone put it in perspective yesterday. It's, you know, you look at us on paper entering the season, we had the toughest non-conference schedule. And, you know, we beat those teams, and some of them got beat up along the way and they fell off a little bit, but it was by hands down, no one else was willing to play Notre Dame, Florida, Florida State, USF, right back to back to back. And you know what? We played some really high level ball. And now you look at us in November, we're actually playing significantly better than we did back then. And, yep. And getting healthier. So that's the part that really stands out for us. And again, when you have that and you have a head-to-head, you know, opportunity against one of the teams you're being compared against, I think it's just an awesome situation for the University of Miami.
You know, one thing I've really liked about this team, from the guys that came in on the transfer portal to guys you've recruited to this freshman class, the Malachi Toney, the Pringle, the Fitzgerald, you can go on and on with other guys, but those three really had their prints on this game, how they played. It's just incredible. And there's just no drop-off. You're getting it from every part of your team. And the skill set, you got a couple guys back who also hope played well in this game. I do want to ask you about Malachi Toney now that it's done. I know we do this every week. Well, I know there's been some special freshmen. I don't want to take away from Reuben Bain or Maui Noah when they came in as true freshmen. But what this guy does, whether he has the ball or he's a decoy, just incredible. The bigger game, I mean, some of the catches he makes in this last game. Coach, you've now had a chance to see it for 12 games in spring football. What would you say about Malachi Toney?
Yeah, he's all right, you know. Yeah, he's obviously a special player. Again, you know, all the stuff he could do with the ball besides just catching it, is it's just part of what the package he brings to the table. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he jumped over on defense and played man-to-man coverage and played it at the highest level as well. He's just he understands the ins and outs of the game as well as anybody you'll see from being a freshman to being a senior. And every single day, he just brings it, Joe. I mean, every day, everything is a competition. He does it at the highest level. And he's relentless, man. He truly is one of those guys that just he doesn't stop. He's the Energizer Bunny, man. He just brings it every single day.
We don't do this very much. I thought your coordinators had great games and overall really good seasons in Shannon Dawson and Corey Heatherman. Game plans and getting guys in positions to do things that they do best, whether it's guys that blitz, guys in coverage, guys that, you know, and letting guys tee off, letting the best players look like the best players. I just thought the game plans were outstanding.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sure they will too. They are very adaptable guys, very hardworking, team-oriented dudes that understand the simple concept of players over plays. It's always got to be players over plays. You know, we all have good plays, good ideas, but, brother, if you don't put the right guys in the right situation, it's not going to look as good. And I think as the season went on, we just got better at doing that and started playing more and more to our strengths, and credit to both those guys. They're elite people and super hard workers, so it was great to see them get the results they got.
Stepping back here, just dropping back for a second, I thought Carson Beck really ended up having a really good season. I know he had the one hiccup in Louisville with some picks, but I thought overall, especially this last month, he has been really, really good, Coach.
Yeah, he's actually been the best in the country over the last 4 weeks. And, in the middle of the season had the hiccup, you know, but, again, the resiliency of a guy that what he went through this past summer, he's actually like healthy now, you know, I mean, he missed so much earlier. He is hard to defend. He's really, really smart. I think for whatever reason, I don't know if this is the right thing to say. I just think he was misunderstood before arriving here. That guy is really, he's a special player. He's a special quarterback. He is a special worker, a special teammate. And, again, it just all fits well. This is a great blend of guys. This is a group of guys that has put their best foot forward here at the end at a really high level. It's a group of guys that deserves to keep playing.
This committee, College Football Playoff Committee, obviously going to have final say. I know we have the conference championship games coming up here, and everybody's waiting on those. By the way, before I get to that, Duke is 7-5 playing in the championship game. It just sounds weird to go 7-5 and not play a tough schedule outside of the conference and have that many losses and be able to still play. And I know that's the system we've set up, everybody agreed to. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's, the system is just, it's a little bit, it's different, man. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of divisions because everybody's alive, everybody's playing, and you have a chance to play, you know, each other maybe a little bit more often than not. But however it ended up, you know what, to Duke and to Virginia, you have to be you got to be like a real deal person, say congratulations, you know. Not that we all agree with the way it played out and the way the tiebreakers are set up, but you don't hate on that. You say congratulations, good luck, man, and you keep working and focusing on your stuff.
All right, so the one that's really getting everybody, especially after the way you guys played on Saturday, is this College Football Playoff Committee the week before it made, well, our eyeball test, this eyeball test of who's played the best and throughout, and they've been on this thing, especially it seems always come up, the Canes and Notre Dame. And now some of the national guys I'm hearing are like, wait a second, when did head-to-head, even if it's early in the season, when you only play 12 games, it's still got to be important. You can't throw away whatever happens early in the season like it doesn't count. And that's kind of what Notre Dame is doing right now. Like, we've been good since early in the season. We've been as good as anybody. I'm really curious to see how the head-to-head thing, after you beat Notre Dame, I don't care where you beat them. And you got to get credit for it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. It's, we just, again, it's all about doing it in a professional manner. That's really, really important. And our job is to try to make their job as easy as possible, right? And so when you play the same opponents and you do a better job against them, I mean, that carries a ton of value. And then you hope that two teams have an opportunity to play each other to really make it easier. And we did that. You know, we had an opportunity to play head-to-head, and, and all those facts and all the numbers that go with it, the way that game was graded and the way the offense and defensive lines performed against each other, right? The way key players performed, what they were able to accomplish or how many yards they were limited to. I think all that stuff has, you give yourself an opportunity to present a really clear picture as to who is most deserving. And I think when you have data like that, number one, playing each other, that's always, right, first and foremost, the best. Right. And then having played against the exact same teams and having done a better job, minus the one, I think one team had a lacrosse player, like, start a game at quarterback, so that got out of whack. But aside from that, it's the numbers heavily lean towards the University of Miami, and we're going to keep presenting the information that is truthful. These aren't narratives. These aren't creating scenarios. This is, like, legitimately presenting all the reasons why, no matter who's playing well right now, Miami's playing better than everybody.
And I got to tell you, last year's team and this year's team really, and we had, you had the first overall pick in the draft, and minus the Cam Ward thing, this team is so much better at every part of it, from pass rushing to coverage to offensive line, and then defensively, you know, completely different team the way they played, and Moten and Mezzador and Bain up front have just really dominated the linebackers, way your guys are running around making plays. That's the eyeball test for me. That, like, okay, that these guys, we look at, we want good college football playoff games. We don't want blowouts. I get it. And it just, again, goes back to, it just looks like you've got a really talented team in about every part of it, which you've been part of. You know what they look like.
You know what, we've when we got here, that was the whole purpose, right? Build a sustainable team that gets better every single year, and that's what we're doing, and that's not going to stop. And right now, I think you said a couple things that are really important. This team can win at any level against anybody because of the talent level, because of what we do schematically. And really the culture and the style of play, we're a very physical football team. And it shows up every single week. I mean, our front lines are graded at the highest level. Our explosive playmakers are being put in the situations to be able to make plays. Our defense is playing zone and man coverage as well as you can play it. And taking over football games where, you know, there's considerable separation. And, you know, Joe, honestly, like, we feel like we're just getting started. I mean, we're hitting on all cylinders now. We're getting healthy. We got a couple more guys back. We still didn't have OJ this past game or David Blake. And TJ got in at the end. You see how he's getting healthy in a hurry, right?
Yeah, man.
So, this is a great time for us. And that's, you know, that's both the eyeball test and the field test. Like, we've put it on film, right? The eye in the sky don't lie, brother, you know? So we put it on film. We put it on the field. And we've done it at the right time, at the time where, you know what, I think there was an opportunity and it was made clear that Miami has to show some more consistency. Well, you know what, that's what we've been working on, and that's what we have done very clearly and at a higher level than some of the teams we're being compared against.
Coach, what changed besides the dominant start, the dominant finish, especially over the last four, which hasn't happened around here in a long, long time? What was the difference?
I just think when you make a decision to, I don't know, to, there's nothing more powerful than the power of choice. And we've really wanted to make a cultural shift here from the moment we got here. And I know that's easy to say, but it's hard to do, man. You know, it's hard to do in years and years and years, decades of, you know, that month coming around the corner is like, oh, crap, you know, Miami. And we've been chipping away at that. We've gotten closer and closer. I mean, Joe, I don't think we're 20-4 in our last 24 regular season games, and the ones that we didn't get, it came down to one possession or one play. You know, like, this program is forging forward in a manner where, like, it's supposed to be, and a lot of pride was taken in that word finish, and a lot of work was done from January all the way through now to make sure that finish was a real thing. So credit to the players, number one, first and foremost, man. They bought into what we do, which is really hard, really challenging, but it's the right stuff, and you know what? They're starting to see the benefits of it.
Before I let you go, so you got a week to kind of wait on these conference games. So is it recruiting? Is it meeting with your own guys? A little practice? What's the game plan this week?
For the players, I mean, today we do players to the game and watch the film and all that other stuff, wrapping that part up. But we lift and we run. You know, we got to stay in shape. We got to make sure we stay flexible, toned up, agile, like all the things. You never want to take too much time off, because then when you spike up the amount of workload, then you destroy your body, man. You kill all the good things you did. So we'll do that. A lot of recruiting, signing day on Wednesday. A lot of self-scouting. A lot of film watching. It doesn't stop, man.
Jeez.
So let's just say we're not going Christmas shopping this
week, right? No. I got that. So how big is this Wednesday first signing date for you?
It's huge. I mean, now college football, you're looking at the amount of players you're bringing in at this time of year. Joe, it's people are eclipsing 35, 40, sometimes 50 players. It's the way of the world now, and you know, it's part of it. And they won't get here until January. You still have a lot of season to play here. We're really excited. We're very enthused that things are going to work our way because we've earned it. But at the same time, the machine doesn't stop, man. Not if you want to keep getting better every year, and that's the goal, and we're going to keep doing that.
Yeah, it's really – you got a pretty good idea, by the way. I was going to ask you this. Of who's staying and who might be leaving, which is part of college football now on the transfer portal side of this. Would you say you got a pretty good idea?
We're getting feedback from a lot of the NFL teams, the scouts, the general managers as to where, you know, certain guys right now, where they fit in terms of the draft and whatnot. And as we gather that information, we'll have meetings with guys. We're very open and honest. We never tell anybody what to do. We provide the information. When asked for, our opinion, we give it. And we do everything as it's our very own son. I wouldn't give anybody any information that I wouldn't give my own son. And that's the way we do it, because that's the right thing to do, and it's always the best way. So, but we're gathering all that information, and it's getting closer and closer. But I'll focus right now, brother, on getting better and getting a shot at these playoffs.
Mario, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. And good luck with everything. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Joe. Go Canes.
All right, that was the head coach of the Hurricanes, Mario Cristobal, following the 38-7 win over Pitt. Coach joins Joe Rose every Monday at 6:20 a.m. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Hurricane Hotline. We have Panthers hockey coming up next here on 104.3 FM. Canes Hoops, that will tip off at 9 o'clock on 5:60 a.m. Our pregame begins at 8:30 there. So for Trevor Harris, I am Hollywood. Have a great rest of your evening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS.
With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.